You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. I am not Pat Kreitlow. I am Chad Holm, sitting in for Pat, who is off to Portugal. Off on a vacation. He'll be back in about a week and a half. Not next week. Next week, Matt Rothschild will be guest hosting the program Monday through Thursday, and then I'll be back next Friday, and then Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be the guest host the following Monday. So Pat getting away for a little more than a week, but very happy to be with you here again this morning. Coming up in this hour, in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about what to expect on her program this weekend. Also coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we will be talking to Mike Clemens, our Civic Media sports reporter. He was in Green Bay this week for the Packers mini camp. We'll talk about that, talk about everything else going on in Wisconsin sports as we get set for another weekend as well. So that will be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Real quickly, before we get to Brittany and the weather, need to remind you again that today is the start of Free Ticket Fridays. Yep. A chance for you to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets to an upcoming game all throughout the summer. And today, you can sign up and try to win four tickets to see the Brewers take on the Minnesota Twins at American Family Field coming up next Friday. Real simple. Just open up your Civic Media app and then pick the station that you're listening to. Text the word RUN. R-U-N, RUN, and then you'll be part of the drawing to win four tickets to see the Brewers and the Twins next Friday night. Great tickets at American Family Field. Well, let's talk about the weather if you're getting ready for some outdoor activities this weekend. And very happy to see this time around the computer working this time as our meteorologist Brittany Merlot joined us. Brittany, again, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. It's nice to see you. It's been a minute, and oh gosh, isn't it gorgeous today?
Yeah, I'm looking outside here at our downtown Wausau studios, and I mean, the blue skies, very calm, just a wonderful way to start a Friday morning, and it's been this way all week long. It's really been, after a really rough March and a really rough April, I think, weather-wise, in terms of not having the kind of spring weather, it's been a lot of fun here this week to be out and about and really enjoying the sunshine.
Yes, I have been walking the trails and talking to locals, and they're just so ecstatic, just like we are too. I mean, people out in shorts the other day, what, we hit like 80 degrees earlier this week. It was fantastic. And now we're going to go right back to those warm temperatures. Now today, super sunny, calm winds, mid to upper 70s across the state. We do have a cold front that does want to move through tonight. It could spark up a few spotty showers far northwest, probably around 3 to 5 or so. And as that front kind of moves its way towards La Crosse and central areas, we could see a thunderstorm possible, a very weak one and a very brief one. And all of these rain chances wind down by 10 o'clock tonight, and they stay northwest. As the front continues southeast, it dries up and nothing comes from it. So honestly, all we're going to do is see some cooler temperatures up north tomorrow and still some warmer temperatures down south tomorrow. So for Saturday, we're expecting highs in the upper 60s far north to 70s far south. And then Sunday, Mother's Day, don't forget it. We are very comfortable. I mean, statewide, 70s to about 80 degrees. And then Monday, into the mid-80s potentially for a lot of us. And some of that mugginess starts to seep in too. And honestly, we're not looking at any rain chances until Tuesday or Wednesday next week. And significant rain holds off until next weekend. So we've got that very high fire danger to still battle as we go through this weekend. So keep that in mind. No bonfires. Watch that equipment. If you're on ATVs, stuff like that, don't let it spark.
It doesn't take much, it seems, for things to go from one extreme to the other, whether it's flooding to drought. You get some rain, and all of a sudden you're worried about some flooding, and then all of a sudden you're dry for a week, and all of a sudden you're thinking about drought conditions and fire dangers. It's amazing in this part of the world how that happens so quickly.
It really is. It's a weather whiplash in Wisconsin, 100%. I mean, we were battling all of that rain. Rivers are rising, floods were going on, and then all of a sudden, it just stopped. And just a stretch this long can do that to us and really put us in that high fire danger. Plus, spring is just the season where it's really strong, you know? So we're almost through it. I love the green grass. I'm going to be honest with you. It's so nice. The fresh smell of the cut grass. Oh, and the flowers and trees budding. I'm loving it.
Well, I know you're going to enjoy your weekend. You were saying earlier you're heading on the road, heading to Illinois for Mother's Day, and you're going to make some stops. And as you do all the time, you're going to soak up everything that makes Wisconsin great, aren't you?
I have to, even with the allergies. I don't care. It is beautiful outside, and I'm going to enjoy this while it's here in the calm, comfortable weather, 100%.
Absolutely. Again, Brittany, thanks for the information. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good. You too.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joins us at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock here on Mornings with Pat Wrightlow. Also, something to look forward to this weekend is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is joining us right now. Doctor, I think it's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you. It's really great. I've heard you with Pat for so many months and years, and with other shows on Civic Media. Great to finally have you on the air and talk to you.
Thanks, Chad. Well, it's wonderful to be here doing this with you. Thanks for filling in for Pat. I mean, those are big shoes to fill, but you're doing a great job, as you always do.
Well, I appreciate that. It's something I was talking about with Greg Bach in the last segment of the last hour, because Greg, he had come on as a guest and a year and a half ago, and then all of a sudden he started to expand his role, and all of a sudden now he's on with Pat, he's on with Jane, and he's one of the big voices here on Civic Media. How did you get hooked up with Pat? Because I've heard you with Pat for such a long time, and then you started to spread your wings in terms of being with other programs here on Civic Media, running for Congress. What was the start of this line? Because obviously, you know, we were talking with Greg how things just sometimes you hit this curve in the road and it takes you in a direction maybe you wouldn't have expected. How did this whole broadcasting journey begin for you?
Isn't that just what life does? Is it offers you this like slate of opportunities, and you just have to decide what you want to do and what's meaningful to you. So for me, I'm an OBGYN doctor. I'm a practicing OBGYN doctor. In fact, I'm on call at the hospital in northern Minnesota right now. So delivering babies, trying to solve this rural obstetrical crisis, that's really, really important to me. And that is the thing that I was made to do, is take care of my patients, make sure they have access to the care that they need, make sure that they have the ability to make their own personal medical decisions. We all need that, right? No matter who we are, we all need to be in charge of our own bodies, because we have to live the consequences of the decisions that we make. So for me, that's the core of not just my job, but also the advocacy work that I do. And I've been doing advocacy work. Women's health is always political for some crazy reason. Politicians feel like they need to be making these decisions. So I've been involved with advocacy work in women's health since before I started medical school, really. And the more I got involved, the more work, more advocacy work I did. But when COVID happened, that was when I realized that I needed to take it to a different level. And that's when I ran for state assembly. And I got more involved in the political piece of it. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing that, then I started getting more media exposure and having more conversations with reporters. And it was really through a mutual friend that Pat and I got connected with each other, and we did a couple interviews, and, you know, pretty soon we were friends and just having these great conversations. And I think we recognized that it was really easy for us to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So, and even though he's married to an OBGYN, so he has easy access to that information, it's just nice to be able to talk about, to normalize and make the stuff that I do every day accessible. So much of it is taboo, you know, talking about things like abortion, certainly, but even birth control or, you know, healthy body things. things like sex, things like that. People do these things all the time, but we just don't ask questions and we don't know where to go to get those questions or to get those answers. So I love the access. It's amazing to have the access that Pat provides me that I now have because I have my own show. So I can talk to anybody I want about anything that I want, and also to help connect those dots. I think a lot of people don't realize how the decisions that we make in the voting booths affect our everyday lives. That is something that many of us are profoundly starting to experience right now. So yeah, it's been a journey that I certainly didn't expect, but I'm having a blast, Chad.
The thing about it is, and I think it's similar maybe to Pat's history. I mean, he was a very successful news anchor. I remember when I was going to school in Eau Claire, Pat Kreitlow was on television, and it's almost surreal, you know, being, you know, talking to him on the radio nowadays. But at some point he decided to jump in. And I think anytime that you jump into politics, there's no shallow end of the pool. It is the deep end of the pool. Was it
the
scary?
The deep end of the pool is a great way to describe it.
Was it scary the first time when you said, I'm going to do this? I'm going to put my, because I think one thing that people sometimes don't realize, you definitely are putting your complete life, your family out there when you run for office, whether it's for the state legislature, whether it's for the House of Representatives, whatever it may be. Was it scary at first in any way?
I wasn't scared because I was so committed to it. And because I've got nothing to hide. Anybody who knows me knows that, like, this is how I am. So it was easy for me. I think maybe for some people who are more less public, it might be hard because you're trying to keep your public and private lives separately. But my kids are used to me. So for them, they were like, yep, that's just who my mom is. it just makes it really easy to just be the same person that I always am. So it wasn't scary. And it was in many ways, it was like releasing a pressure valve because during COVID, I mean, there are a lot of parallels to what's happening right now, but during COVID, we all felt like victims. We couldn't do things. We couldn't get things. There was so much uncertainty. It was very uncomfortable. And to be able to do something that was helping, even if it was just in a little way, felt really good. I need to help. I have justice is like at my core. When I see injustice, I get frustrated, whether it's, you know, related to being able to access healthcare or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I have to fix it. So no, I was really committed to the mission, and that's where I remain now.
I tell you, when you say the word help, and when you talk about politics, you don't hear that word enough. Mm-hmm. The folks that get involved in politics, and again, go back to the core of it, public service, the help.
Yeah.
I think that the more people that decide to get involved because they want to help others, the better the system gets.
Well, that's why you should get involved. So I was doing some work in my hotel room. I pretty much live in a hotel room when I'm up here, the hotel room or the hospital. And the people came in to clean the room and we were just chatting. And the woman who was fixing the bed said, you know, I get frustrated because politics is so ugly and I just don't want to do anything with it. And I think that's what a certain group of politicians wants to happen. They want you to feel powerless. They want you to feel like whatever you do doesn't matter so that they can then run roughshod all over you. But the more we talked about the things she cared about, it was clear that she was paying attention and it did matter to her and she was frustrated. And I think I got her to the point where she probably will vote. I hope she will because she has a lot to say. So yeah, I think the more we can all engage in this process, the more we can step into it for the right reasons, not for our own power and money, but for actually taking care of each other in the public service piece that you brought up, Chad. That's why we do it.
I should have asked you earlier, are you available for one more segment?
Oh yeah, I'm around as long as you want me.
We're going to talk about your show, which is coming up this weekend, and we'll talk more about that as well with Dr. Kristen Lightway. We're going to take a very quick time out and be right back. Again, I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. Morning with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Time for our morning workout. Get the blood flowing here on a Friday morning. The time is 8:22, a beautiful start throughout the state of Wisconsin. My name is Chad Holmes. I'm broadcasting from our Wausau studios, 98.9 WXCO in the center of the state, north central Wisconsin, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. Pat, off to Portugal. Portugal. Not sure.
I
what
hear it's a great here. Place to retire to.
I guess say. So. I'm sure he's going to have some stories when he does get back, but very happy to be sitting in today. I'll be back again next Friday as well. Matt Rothschild will be in the seat, the big seat, the Pat Kreitlow seat, Monday through Thursday next week. And then Dr. Lyerly will be on. Doc in the box. No.
But I know my place. We put Greg first. It's Bach in the dock.
Okay, very good. But that's something to look forward to a week from Monday before Pat returns as well. But also something to look forward to, of course, is the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. How many shows have you done, Doctor?
This will be our fourth tomorrow, so we're a brand new program. I still can't believe it. When Todd Michaels, the producer in Green Bay, first came to me with this idea, I was thinking, oh, we should talk about healthcare stuff or politics or healthcare and politics and how they affect each other. And he said, no, I think we should call it the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, because then you can talk about anything you want. And guess what we're talking about this week?
Could it have some connection in what we were just talking about?
It does.
And so it was by accident.
I know. It's kind of crazy. We're talking with the town supervisor from the town of Freedom. Freedom's a little town. It's about 6,000 people, halfway between Green Bay and Appleton. If you go draw a vector perpendicular to a line straight between Green Bay and Appleton, it's the crossroads of the Fox Valley. And it is a delightful town that's growing by leaps and bounds. Justin Schumacher is the town supervisor. He also happens to be the parks director for Outagamie County Parks. So this is a guy who is a civil servant. His dad was the town supervisor for a nearby town. He's got an uncle who is a town supervisor. He is somebody who is committed to civic engagement and to lifting up the people who surround him. And the things that he's done there, he hired a town administrator. So now they are actually starting to like operationalize, instead of it just being, hey, Justin, my ditch is clogged. Can you help me out? They've got a process for that, which makes it more efficient and more likely to get done. And as the community grows, people know who to talk to and who to call to get things done. So, and it's not just that. It really is about what we were talking about during the break, Chad. It's that civic engagement. It's people recognizing that they can make a difference in their town. We all can in one way or another. And stepping up to fill that spot, whether it's school board or county board supervisor, all of these local spots often are hard to fill, especially in less populated areas. Sometimes we have to beg people to run for these spots. So if you are somebody who wants to make a difference in your community, look at where you live. Go to myvote.wi.gov. You can see everybody who represents you there. If there's somebody there who you're like, I could do a better job, challenge them. They may not even want to be doing this job. You know, they may just be stuck in this job. But there are so many ways to get involved, whether it's an elected position, volunteering at a nonprofit, at helping out with a local food bank. We need civic engagement now more than ever.
The only way the system works is if we're involved. And there's many different ways to be involved. It can be involved just in being an educated voter. But boy, again, we've heard in the history of this country, the best government is the government closest to the people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation. And I was thinking, you know, you talk about being a host of a radio show. I would think your profession, being a doctor, you ask questions all the time of your patients. I imagine there is a connection there that actually probably makes this a comfortable situation in this new kind of job.
Totally. The problem I have is I'm a listener, so sometimes it's hard to do the talking piece and also content, because think about it, the things that I hear about in my job as an OBGYN doctor, not really radio material. Boundaries can be a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, speaking of that, have you heard about postpartum Medicaid extension?
I have not.
Oh, let me tell you all about it. This is a bill. So Wisconsin is one of two states that has not extended postpartum Medicaid coverage to one full year. So in Wisconsin, women who have recently had babies lose their insurance coverage at 2 months. And anybody who has been around, anybody who has had a baby knows that you're not done at 2 months. You still need access to healthcare. So this is something that is quite literally life-saving for moms in Wisconsin. And we have the opportunity right now to pass postpartum Medicaid extension to make sure that moms can get that coverage for a full year. There is bipartisan, bicameral support. The Senate voted for it almost unanimously. Only one person voted against it. The Assembly is in support. 77 of our 99 Assembly folks are on board. We've got, this is how great this bill is. We've got the OBGYN doctors and the Catholic Conference on board. There are pro-life people, pro-choice people. One of my friends in Door County is a libertarian. He just wrote an op-ed for the Milwaukee Journal about this. Everybody is on board. The sticking point is Robin Voss.
Yeah.
Our speaker won't bring it to the floor. So this weekend, we're doing a big Mother's Day push. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So if you love your mom, call your legislator and tell them that moms deserve healthcare coverage. This is our chance to make it happen.
And the bottom line is, people say, well, call my, the calls don't matter. They matter.
They matter.
The elected officials listen.
They
when
do.
They get pressured, and maybe not pressured, informed, they do take it into account.
That's right.
I've seen that over and over again.
Be nice when you call, but right. Definitely call.
By the way, what stations again are you on this weekend?
I am up on WGBW and WISS in northeastern Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app.
And of course, you can also listen as a podcast if you miss it over the weekend as well.
That's
Dr.
Right.
Kristen Lyerly, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you when I'm back next Friday.
Sounds great, Chad. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Coming up next, Mike Clemens here on 90, oh, not on Civic Media. And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Chad Holmes from our 98.9 WXTO studio in the heart of downtown Wausau, sitting in today for Pat. And every Friday, I get an opportunity to talk to a man that I enjoy immensely because the man knows sports, and I love talking sports. And we're very happy to welcome here to the program our Civic Media sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, hey, great to have you on.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, I know you continue to be very, very busy. It's been a beautiful weather week, so that means that for the Green Bay Packers, they had their rookie mini camp after the draft, and I know you were there. Obviously, there was so much excitement after the NFL draft, the drafting of Matthew Golden, that first number one pick in more than two decades. Then all the other rookies were in town. Anything jump out in terms of what you saw at minicamp?
Yeah, a great, bright bunch of personalities like I haven't seen in quite a few years. Between Matthew Golden, the first round pick out of Texas, Anthony Belton is the big offensive lineman they took out of NC State. He's like 6'6" and 330. He told me he's going to try and lose about 10 pounds. He's going to move from like left tackle in college to maybe guard. Barry and Sorrell, you know, the kid out of Texas, the linebacker who hung around all weekend just because he wanted to walk that stage, and it turned out the team that was, you know, up next and wanted to take him was across the street, the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, he got to walk across the stage and would turn out to be the host city and then come across the way and talk to us. So we got to meet these guys in person and all various personalities, but really good communicators. Oh, my, this Warren Brinson kid they got out of Georgia, defensive lineman, he's ready for ESPN. In fact, he was kind of joking around. I kind of like to get into the media right now. So, now, you know, there was a time where, 06 or 07 or so, I'm standing on the sidelines at a rookie minicamp. They just, you know, drafted a bunch of players. Well, they had 38 players there last weekend, Chad. The eight draft picks, the undrafted players they signed right after the draft, guys in for a tryout, whatnot. I was at this mini camp, and standing next to me was the former Packers running back and now an analyst, Gary Ellerson. And this kid they picked out of Western Michigan, like a high draft pick, goes blowing past us for a pass. He's a wide receiver. And, man, the speed, and just would glide down the sidelines, put the hands up, look the ball in, and take off. And I'm like, holy, that guy looks like he's been here 5 years. Who's that dude? It was Greg Jennings. And so, you know, I still remember those kinds of mini camps. Like, oh, man, this is our first chance to see some of these guys. Well, times have changed. And Matt LaFleur even explained. He goes, yeah, you know, I remember my first mini camp here as head coach. You know, these guys, they've gone through summer camp, a college football season, bowl games, senior bowl, then you know, the track and field event of the combine, and then the getting ready for the draft and all this stuff. He said, give them a break. You know, just make it an orientation, like, welcome to Green Bay. Here's where your locker is going to be. Here's where the meetings are. Just get them into the routine. And so that's what last weekend was. And LaFleur, they were going to have a very limited media avail to us inside the Hudson Center with the players as they were walking them through the practice. But LaFleur let us stay the whole time, just as long as we – I said, you mean just head and shoulder shots? He goes, yeah, don't shoot any routes or anything like that. I said, we just want Matthew Golden in his number 22 jersey. So we got to watch that practice. They weren't playing any music, so we could hear the coach yelling. And I'm here to tell you, Matt LaFleur is a micromanaging coach. You know, every little detail, you know, is talked about out there. So that was a really good thing to see. And it's a pretty exciting group that they got out of those 8 draft picks. I think, though, Chad, maybe one of the more interesting acquisitions is this Isaiah Simmons linebacker they picked up last couple of weeks from the New York Giants. And I think this is another one of these kinds of signings. Like, remember Devondre Campbell, some guy, you know, that they picked up from the Atlanta Falcons, ended up being a great, you know, inside linebacker for him for a couple of years. Or Rasul Douglas, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew it. It's another one of these things where the Packers will play a team, and they'll be impressed by that. Plus, they might have connections to that team. And so they brought in this guy for a 1-year deal. He was a first-round pick for the Cardinals, like number 8 overall out of Clemson. And then the Cardinals had a changeover in coach and GM. So he got a 1-year deal with the Giants. And so I said to LaFleur, so did you ask Xavier McKinney about him? He goes, yes, we did, as a matter of fact. So they had a reference like that. They've signed him to a 1-year deal. He's a backup linebacker. He'll be behind Quay Walker, McDuffie, you know, Edgerrin Cooper. And they're very excited about his potential as a 5-year NFL veteran that can help out at backup at the inside linebacker and on special teams.
Another aspect for the Packers that's always fun this time of year, you know, you're in the middle between the draft and then the start of training camp coming up is the old celebrity softball game. It's been a baton that's been passed from star to star, and right now Jordan Love is getting ready for his latest edition, isn't he?
Started with Brett 25 years ago, and then Donald Driver took over it, and then Jordy Nelson, and then now it's the Jordan Love Celebrity Softball Tournament, and it's 2 weeks from tonight. Jordan held a press conference about it the other day, and it'll be Friday night, May 23rd. He's going to bring along a bunch of Packers. I think he might have some other surprises, like maybe a Brewer or probably not a Brewer, but you know, a Milwaukee Bucks player. And it'll be at the Timber Rattler Stadium in Grand Chute. The proceeds go to Jordan's Hands of Love Foundation, and the tickets are on sale now, I believe, at the Timber Rattlers website. So that's 2 weeks from tonight. You know, the Packers doing their annual softball tournament.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks have been done for a little while, just watching Indiana now surprising the Cavaliers early in the next series. But I've been clicking and trying to see if there any news. Is Giannis saying anything? Is Doc saying anything? What have you been hearing? I mean, obviously, at the end of another disappointing first-round exit, there have been these question marks around the Bucks. Has any rumbles been coming out of Milwaukee on any potential changes coming up? A number of free agents out there as well. It's going to be, I think, very active for the Bucks. Have you been hearing anything?
No, you know, the Bucks did not hold, once they got, you know, back to Milwaukee, they did not hold any, like, exit to end-of-season pressers yet. I think that's pretty much a wrap. Doc said, and it's a clip that I played and sent you guys last weekend, where he kind of went through the whole rundown. And I think it was also a way for him to publicly, you know, thank the players and what they did. But, you know, he's trying to say, I'm excited about this group, you know, between Gary Trent Jr. and Kuz and all the other guys we had filling in. Then you're going to see stories about, you know, they're going to trade Giannis, you know, to get five new players. Are they going to replace Doc Rivers? I don't see that happening. I mean, for the first thing is this. John Horst, the GM, just got an extension, you know, a couple weeks before the end of the season. So that's in place. And, you know, his biggest deal is he's got to figure out how's he going to replace Damian Lillard for the next year, who's going to be out with that torn Achilles. And then they'll start saying, like, well, maybe they could pick up another coach, you know, like Mike Malone. I mean, he just coached the Nuggets to, you know, a championship 2 years ago for the Denver Nuggets in 2023. Well, those knuckleheads, they fired him with a couple of games left. He had a four-game losing streak. They fired Malone, his GM, Calvin Booth, in Denver. And I don't see Doc Rivers being moved. First of all, they're still paying off Adrian Griffin, who he replaced after 48 games, right? They were paying Budenholzer. He's already been one and done, fired by the Phoenix Suns. I think they're going to just stick with Doc Rivers and Giannis and that group right now. They might make a change or two here along the way, but I think they're just going to, you know, ramp it up for next year with what they had this season. Just hope that these guys can stay more healthy.
Just over a month into the baseball season, Brewers had that tough start. Then they had a little bit of a good run. They've been kind of a roller coaster. Every time it feels like, oh, they're going in the wrong direction, they find a way to win three games in a row. That's what happened between the end of the series with the Cubs and then the first two games of the Astros series. And now they're right back at 500. I guess, what's your early take here on the crew? Because it has been a little bit of an up and down start.
Cubs are off to a hot start, and they've got a good lineup. And did you hear that clip that we got from Pat Murphy where he was kind of complimenting the clubs, you know, the Cubs, and that, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong says, yeah, the blue-haired kid, because, you know, he showed up to training camp where he dyed his hair Cubs blue, right? Or the big foot, the kid with the big feet that they just picked up, you know, the Kyle Turner that he got from the Tucker for that they got from the Astros. You know, it's one of those backhanded compliments from, you know, where he's sticking it to the rivals like that. That was just so funny. But yeah, they lost the home series to the Cubs. They won on Sunday. They beat the Astros in the series 2-1. They lost the third one of the Astros. And, you know, they're still doing this with a depleted pitching staff. Brandon Woodruff seems to be getting closer. He's now up to rehab in Nashville. Tonight, Jose Quintana, who's been their godsend that they picked up, the veteran, left-hander against the Rays tonight, against Zach Little. So they got a three-game weekend series tonight in Florida against the Tampa Bay Rays. 6:05 tonight, 3:10 tomorrow, 12:40 on Sunday. And they're playing, you know, the Rays, their stadium was, the roof was destroyed in that hurricane last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing in the Yankees minor league field, the George Steinbrenner Field, which is greatly reduced in terms of attendance, but at least the Rays can play their games in Florida this season until they can get the roof repairs to their normal place. So, yeah, you know, and William Contreras, but, you know, I'll try and do more profiles on some of these players as we move on through the season. That guy, Chad, this guy is such a competitor. He's always serious, always focused, an amazing guy to be around. When I covered the Brewers on the road in Fenway against the Red Sox last year, some of the guys were kind of loose and having a good time. They'd won the night before. And this guy's still walking around like, okay, what's next? What are we going to do next? Okay, what's next? Or he's taking a nap. I mean, one of the two. He's constantly focused. So he also reports to the trainer anything he's got going on, and it's a little pain in his left hand, his catching hand, the one that he catches, you know, 100 mile an hour sliders from Abner Uribe. And finally, the GM, Matt Arnold, did an interview yesterday. He said, you know, we said, well, let's get a take a look at this. Hey, image it. He's been playing with a fractured finger. So I don't know if he's going to play catcher tonight, but I mean, that's how much of a, you know, competitor that this William Contreras is. And, you know, and what an addition he's been to the team since that Josh Hader trade. Hey, one other quick thing I wanted to mention before we go.
Yep.
Did you get a chance to watch the running of the Derby, 151st running of the Kentucky Derby last weekend?
I have to admit I missed it.
Yeah. Well, Sovereignty won. He beat Journalism and came in second place and all that. But after the race, and I told this to Pat Murphy because I thought this was fascinating. He loved this. I said, Pat, did you know that Derby last night? Every horse that ran in the Kentucky Derby last night is a descendant of Secretariat. He goes, no. I said, yes.
No.
Yes. I said, he's every horse. Every horse. I said, now that's all I know. I said, I've never been to a horse race. You've never known. You've got to go to a horse race. Oh, yeah, they're great. I said, well, they closed Arlington now. But, yeah, Secretariat, the Triple Crown winner, the legendary horse from 1973. After he retired, I mean, you know, he produced 640, you know, horses. And so every horse that ran last week, and that was a story that was in the Courier Journal down in Louisville, was a descendant of Secretariat. I thought that was fantastic. Unfortunately, Sovereignty, the owner announced yesterday, he's not going to run in the Preakness next weekend. So
yeah.
No Triple Crown winner under this year.
That is a great way to wrap it up. That is a cool little nugget there, Mike Clemens. Man, oh, man. That's good stuff. Hey, Mike, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Chad. Have a good weekend, pal.
You bet. That's Mike Clemens again. That is a nice little nugget there. We have one more segment to go. I'm going to bring in my normal producer, Ian Welsh, coming up in the next segment for a little special finish to the show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat is off on vacation. I'm assuming he's flying, not taking a slow boat to Portugal, but he'll be gone next week. Matt Rothschild will be the guest host Monday through Thursday of next week. I will be back again on Friday of next week. The following Monday, which would be the 19th of May, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Greg as hosting the program. And then on the 20th, I think that's when Pat Kreitlow will be returning. But really fun to be in Pat's seat here today, broadcasting from our downtown Wausau studios. We got Sam Davison in Madison. Appreciate his help as well. I hope, again, I know that you're going to give the report to Pat Kreitlow, Sam. I hope that things are going okay so far.
Oh, yeah, they're going great, Chad.
And also something I definitely don't want anybody to get in, because everybody's putting the check marks on the big things. We have to promote, again, this great new contest that we're starting today and every Friday, basically throughout the summer, which is a free ticket Friday through Civic Media, a chance for our listeners to get a chance to get a four-pack of Brewers tickets to an upcoming game. In fact, the first tickets that are being given away are for the Brewers against the Minnesota Twins coming up next Friday night at American Family Field. So basically, during the course of the day, make sure you tune into all these programs and send in a text with our keyword. And the keyword for this program is RUN. R-U-N. So all you have to do is go to the Civic Media app, and I like to tell you to go to the WXCO part of the app, because it makes us look better if we get more texts in for these contests through WXCO. But whatever station you happen to be listening to, click on your station and then hit the text button, and all you have to put in is the three letters. R-U-N, RUN, and then we'll have a drawing, and perhaps you'll be sitting in some terrific seats at American Family Field. Really, really good seats. Have you been to our Civic Media seat, Sam, at all for any games?
I have not. It's been more than 10 years since I was at a Brewer game, actually. Yeah.
I went to one game last year. It was a Civic Media outing, and it was just outstanding seats. I mean, you were in that second deck right near the railing, right basically. You just look down and see the catcher and the pitcher and everything else. Great food, great fun, and really looking forward to seeing some of our listeners get an opportunity to use those seats as well. So again, go to the Civic Media app and text RUN, RUN, and you'll be part of the drawing to win here today. going. We'll do this every Friday throughout the course of the summer. If you're watching our stream, you see next to me my normal producer, Ian Welsh. He is with me as during the course of this program, twice an hour between 7 and 9 a.m. We have local segments based out of Wausau, give you some of the local news, information, and interviews here in Wausau. And one thing that we do, and we've done this for a year and a half on my program previously, is we have what's called our number for the day. And we always try to wrap up the program in order to have a little bit of a lighter note. We talk about serious issues all the time, most of the morning on the program, but we try to kind of loosen it up. And I give Ian a number for the day. And not only is it a number for the day, I give it as a quiz. And I grade him. And we have 5 days in a work week. And we give him three choices when it comes to the number for the day. Normally, it's a guess. He tries to kind of figure it out, but it's mainly a guess. So based on the math, you have three choices, one of which is correct. So one out of three. 33% then. If he's above 33% for the week, I give him a passing grade. If he's below 33%, I give him a stern talking to and make him stay after class because that's a failing grade. But then I don't want just mediocrity in my classroom. I want success. And a winning week is when he gets more right than wrong, which would be 3 out of 5 during the week. If he wants an A grade, it is 4 out of 5. So that's hard. I mean, when you're basically guessing with three choices, to get 4 out of 5 right is difficult. So we give him an A. And then, of course, the A plus is if he goes the entire week and gets every single one of these number for the day quizzes correct, that's an A plus. And just recently, about a month ago, he finally got Monday right. He got Tuesday right. He got Wednesday right. He got Thursday right. And they came down to Friday. And he got it right.
Yes, I did.
5 out of 5. A perfect. I did not think you'd ever get a perfect.
Congrats,
Ian. That was a great week.
I know. It's like a big celebration that week. And this week has been a really good week. He's got 3 out of 4 so far this
Yes.
week. So he's already clinched a winning week. And now if he can get it right today, you will have an A grade for the week. And if
4 out of 5 going into the weekend.
You can go into your weekend with a spring in your step and a smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
But usually I give them early the topic. And again, I'm going to ask you not to look at my computer where I have my quiz question. But I usually give them the topic earlier. But I'm going to give you the topic right now.
Okay.
The topic is laundry.
Laundry.
Laundry. And today it's based on a survey. Okay. Our number for the day is the percentage of all laundry in married households done by the woman. So you got a man and a woman, married couple. What percentage within these married households is the laundry done by a woman?
Okay, what are my choices?
All right, I'm going to give you the choices.
Okay.
Your choices are 68%, 78%, or 88%.
Okay.
So 68%, 78%, or 88%. What percentage of married households is the laundry done by a woman?
Okay. Don't have a lot of time. So
and the thing is, Sam, if you look at him, you can almost see the beads of sweat. Because every day I'm looking through the window.
You can see the gears turning in his head. Yeah.
I mean, he tries to figure this out and put it all together and get this right. And look at this guy. I mean, he's just, he's trying to figure it out. All right.
But you're focusing.
All right.
My final answer, I'm going to say, is 88%. I'm going to go with C as my final answer, go with the biggest number.
All right.
88 is my final answer.
The correct answer of the percentage of women who do the laundry in a married household is 88%.
Nice. 4 out of 5.
I guess all that thinking worked.
Oh,
congratulations. 4 or 5.
You.
Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Thank you all. Stick around. Coming up, Matt and Air on Air on Civic Media.
Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.